You have questions about Connecticut personal injury law? Then you've found your podcast. Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean keeps it real. Straight talk, live from Glastonbury, Connecticut. This is Ryan McKean.
I'm a dog owner, and I love dogs. I've got two dogs, Teddy, who's an Australian Shepherd, and Masha, who's a German Shepherd. And most of their day, I've been working from home a lot during the pandemic, and most of their day spent napping, except for when a delivery person comes. When a delivery person comes, it's a big event for my dogs, particularly my German Shepherd. Now, my German Shepherd, Masha, has a loud bark and can be very scary. She's a giant softie, but somebody who's delivering something would have no way of knowing that. I spent years growing up as a paper boy, and I would deliver papers to people's houses, and there were some dogs who were totally chill. There were some dogs who their bark was a lot louder than their bite. And then there were other dogs who were skittish and a little bit unpredictable. And I was bitten twice while delivering papers. And so I really understand what that's like. One time I was thrown off my bike. I had my jeans ripped. Another time I was reaching in through a door and a dog bit my wrist. And I know the real pain that can come from that, and having to go to the doctor, get on antibiotics, and having clothes ruined. And I was lucky. None of my bites were disfiguring. None of my bites had scarring. None of my bites resulted in any sort of infection. We see a lot of infections that happen with dog bites, resulting in people having to go to the hospital. So dog bites for delivery people are very common. And I was home yesterday, and my dog was barking when a delivery person came, and I had to go and I had to sign for a package that was being delivered to my house. And I went out and I signed for it, and I said, "Oh, don't worry, these dogs, my dog Masha, her bark is worse than her bite. She, all she really wants is to be pet by you." And the guy looked at me and he said, "I'm not taking any chances. I've been bit 35 times over the course of my career." And, wow, I really understood that. And we have a lot of clients who are delivery people, whether they're, they work for the post office or Amazon or DoorDash or FedEx or UPS. They're going on to people's property and they are getting bit by dogs. Now, sometimes these dogs they have an electric fence and the dogs are free to roam the yard, and a delivery person may not know that a dog is even on the property, and then they walk down the driveway or walkway and they find a dog. Other times, dogs are just they're tethered on a property, and dogs sometimes break through their tethers, and sometimes they're indoors. And they can, break through a screen door or a storm door. I know my German Shepherd Masha is very smart, and she knows that she has to hit the doorknob with her paw to go and open doors. So there's any number of dangers for any time somebody goes on a property and there are dogs. And so what I really want to talk about are, what are some of the legal issues here? Now, I'm a good dog owner. I take my dogs to training. We have an electric fence. I've taken steps to socialize them. But at the end of the day, dogs are dogs. Dogs bite. Dogs are animals. They live by a different code than humans do. So they get scared, they act out, and they bite. Even good dogs can bite people under the right circumstances. And I've seen this a lot throughout my career, where a dog's otherwise good, gets scared, bites, causes some injury. So it's not about whether or not a dog is good or bad. It's not about whether an owner is responsible or irresponsible. And sometimes you see, leash laws Obviously, like if you're in a park, but this is somebody's home, and it puts really delivery people at special risk because, again, my dog's not going to be leashed in my house. She can open the door, perhaps. They can climb over a fence. They can get out in some which way. I go to open the door a little bit, and out comes the dog to the delivery person. So you're especially vulnerable at any point, regardless of the type of dog. Sometimes small dogs can do a lot of damage. Sometimes bigger dogs are big softies. But you're always at a lot of risk when you go onto somebody's property and there are animals. So discussing the legal issues, because I think the law in Connecticut really recognizes this. And what the law does is it imposes strict liability on the owners of the house, of the dog, or the keeper of the dog. And what strict liability is basically, it doesn't matter how trained a dog is. It doesn't matter how nice a dog is. It doesn't matter the security precautions that the owner took. If my dog Masha or my dog Teddy bites somebody, no matter what I have done, I am responsible for the harms and losses. That's what strict liability is. It doesn't, and you really have to contrast that with other areas of liability, like for example, a car accident. In a car accident, most of those cases are negligence cases, which is that somebody had an obligation to do a thing, like stop at a stop sign, they don't stop, they roll through the stop sign and they cause some injury. Well, that's negligence. We have to show that they had an obligation to do something and they didn't do it. Dog bite, strict liability case. That's really the first important point you need to know. The second important point you need to know is that, you know, there may or may not be a workers' compensation component to this. If you are an independent contractor, you may or may not have workers' compensation. If you work for a company, you may have workers' compensation. And generally, what workers' compensation covers are the medical bills, lost wages, and any sort of permanent injury that comes from the dog bite. Now, it might not compensate you for things like disfigurement. It might not compensate you adequately for those things. It definitely is not going to compensate you for pain and suffering. So there's always a component that there may be a workers' comp claim, but I'm really here to talk to you today about claims against the dog's owner. So claims against the dog's owner are covered generally by homeowners or renters policies. Now, most people who own a home are required to have homeowners insurance by their mortgage company. So homeowners insurance is very common. Renters insurance, far less so. Many renters, you know, they may not be in a financial position. They may not see the value in purchasing coverage. They may not even know that renters coverage exists. So renters coverage is somewhat rare. If you're bit by a dog that is a tenant's dog, there may not be insurance. And that's one of the things that we, as Connecticut dog bite lawyers, really investigate. You know, is there insurance? Is there not? We have ways that we can run searches to find out who insures the property. And sometimes, if you are bitten by a dog that is from a tenant and there is no renter's insurance, there are some situations where a landlord can be responsible. If they are negligent, for example, they don't fix property that causes the dog to escape and attack you, well, that can be an issue. They've essentially created a dangerous and defective condition on the premises. So that's another thing that a Connecticut dog bite lawyer is going to look for. Now, you know, the things that are really important is it's really important that you get medical treatment for your dog bite. And we've seen this. We had a case where somebody was bit. It was bit by a small dog, small puncture wound. And what happened is it resulted in an infection. That infection then resulted in hospitalization and surgery. So this was this little bitty bite. Again, the person thought nothing of it, went home, got sicker, ended up, by the time that they had diagnosed this, had infection had spread, resulting in some sort of surgery. So it's really important for you, if you've been bitten by a dog as a delivery person, that you go, maybe go to your primary care doctor or urgent care doctor, have that wound clean, perhaps get a course of antibiotics, because you really want to avoid that situation. Now, you know, kinds of injuries that we commonly see from dog bites really are scarring or disfigurement. Scarring or disfigurement claims vary from case to case. Again, it's where the factors that you really look into in terms of settlement value are, you know, where is the scar located? How visible is it? What is the impact on people? I mean, if I get bit, it's going in, it may be on my face, it's going to be a scar and whatnot. But if it's a model whose face that is on advertisements and things, they might have a higher value claim. So the location of the scarring, and with scarring claims, it's really important to know that they might take 6 months, 9 months, a year to really have some understanding of whether or not that scar is going to be permanent, whether or not that there's plastic surgery that can fix that scar, or whether or not the scar just heals and goes away. So scarring claims can take some time to play out, but that's a very common injury. Another thing that we see, and this is sort of bad luck, is that when a dog bites somebody, there could be nerve damage. So if you're feeling some sort of like tingling that goes on, it can be that the dog has done damage to the nerve. And that's a condition that could be permanent. It's a condition that you may have to work with neurologists, you may have to work with surgeons, depending upon where the bite is, to diagnose. Again, that can be very sort of uncomfortable. And, you know, sometimes dog bites are really horrific, and they result in, you know, injuries. They can result in death. They can result in, multiple surgeries. We've had cases where there's been essentially a gloving as a result of dog bites. So, the bites can vary from, minor inconveniences to major injuries to even death. So it's really important that you protect your legal rights. Now, vis-a-vis a homeowner or a renter or the dog's owner or keeper, you have the statute of limitations in Connecticut is 2 years. So that means that you have 2 years from the time of the dog bite to bring a claim. You should, if you are bitten and the injury is significant, you should contact the town, whether it's the police or animal control, to document that, because you are also going to want to need to know, are the rabies shots up to date on that dog? Has the dog, is the dog a general threat to the community? Has it been, causing injury and harm and loss to others? And just because you report a claim does not mean that the dog is going to be put down or quarantined or anything like that. It just may get you records to its vaccination history. So you really want to document that. You do want to go and absolutely go get treated. You want to take some pictures of what it is has happened to you. Any information that you can get from the scene is important, because it's the dog's owner and or keeper who can be liable and responsible to you. So my dog Masha, say I give her to our great team member here at Connecticut Trial Firm, Brittany, and I say, Brittany, you can go and take a walk with Masha, and Brittany is walking Masha. Masha then bites somebody. Well, Brittany can also be responsible for it, because at the time of the bite, she was the keeper of the dog. So it's always important for us to know who the owner is, who the keeper is, where the various insurance is that can cover some sort of injury. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to, from a lawyer's perspective, we're going to want to get that information as soon as possible. We're going to send a letter of representation to the homeowner, to the dog's owner, keeper, whoever we think may be responsible. We're going to get that insurance information. And then really, it's going to be a question of monitoring the injuries. Is there scarring? You know, is it major scarring? Has the scarring healed? We may have to take some time. All of those factors sort of come in. And then once we have that information, we would talk to you about the value of a claim, what settlement value may be worth. We would then try to resolve the claim if possible. Again, we have a two-year statute to bring a lawsuit. So within the first, if you don't bring a lawsuit within 2 years and your claim is not settled, it's gone forever. Now, if you do bring a lawsuit, it can, you know, even if your claim settled 3, 4, 5 years, it's really, you need to do it against the right people within the first 2 years. So that's very, very, very important to know. And then it would go, you know, it could go through a litigation process. There could be depositions. There could be experts to talk about the harm that's necessary. I mean, all that's way, way, way down the road. But these are things that a good Connecticut dog bite lawyer is going to be looking to do. So, you know, I mean, I think some of the key takeaways here are you know your rights, know, you know, who is potentially responsible, which is the owner, the keeper of the dog. Get the information by reporting it to the, whether it's the police or local animal control or whoever's proper, because you're going to want to get those shots. Go and get that treatment. You know, talk to a lawyer who can talk about your workers' compensation claim, maybe the third-party claim, and begin really sort of investigating your case, because you have that two-year limitation on a Connecticut dog bite. Now, I've just given you the basics here. There's a lot more to this. You can check out other videos we have here on our YouTube channel, or, you know, the YouTube channel is not legal advice. If you have questions about your specific situation, you can give me a call at 860-471-8333.
You've been listening to Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean, giving you straight talk and answering your questions about Connecticut personal injury law. It's serious stuff. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show, and we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan McKean, on Facebook at CT Trial Firm, on LinkedIn at Ryan McKean, and on Instagram at CT Injury Lawyer. Till next time.